Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. How do we keep our jails from filling with people who might better be served elsewhere? The Safety and Justice Challenge, supported by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, seeks to reduce the overuse of jails, or put it another way, the over-incarceration of Americans. Pennington County was awarded $1.75 million from the Safety and Justice Challenge in 2017. The goal is to build on past efforts to safely reduce the jail population, especially among Native Americans, who are statistically overrepresented in Pennington County's jails. They make up 10% of the county's population and approximately 51% of the daily jail population. Community outreach coordinators Carolyn Olson and Eric Brings White join us now from SDPB's Black Hills studio. Carolyn, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Good afternoon, or it's morning for us.
You're right. Eric, thanks for joining us as well.
Thank you.
Carolyn, let's start with you and give us an idea of just the overall scope of the Safety and Justice Challenge. How much is going on in Pennington County right now with different efforts?
Well, there's a lot. That's a really good question. So you mentioned the grant that we had received from the MacArthur Foundation, and we've got a number of different initiatives going on for the overall purpose of reducing the jail population with two specific populations. The first, as you indicated, was to reduce the overrepresentation of our Native citizens in our jail, and then the second is of low-risk, nonviolent offenders. So when we're talking about reducing the jail population, we always want to keep in mind that we want to keep the community safe. So we're targeting those nonviolent offenders. And just to answer your question, a number of the initiatives that are going on is we've got the Safe Solutions facility that the Sheriff's Office is working on, and that's to provide our police officers with alternatives for low-risk offenders that maybe need a place to go, but we don't have the facility now, and so they're going to provide that facility for the officers as an alternative for folks that are perhaps dealing with substance abuse issue over any criminal behavior. And in addition, we're also, as you mentioned, doing this warrant resolution initiative. That's what Eric and I have been working feverishly on. And we've got our new young adult diversion program at the state's attorney's office, which is approximately 2 years old. And those are just a few of the initiatives, but you probably imagine the work that's going into that.
Right. So let's talk about a little bit of your background. Eric, you want to talk about why you wanted to be involved in this?
So I think I have a unique perspective and solutions that that the professional doesn't have, because I'm Native American. I've experienced the system, and I thought I would offer that to the program.
Right. How much of a difference do you think that makes now that you do some of the work, that you find, hey, other people don't really understand what this is like and I have something to offer? That must happen on a daily basis.
Absolutely. I think some of the barriers are in mistrust, and even more in misplaced mistrust. So having the opportunity, being who I am, actually I see it as a opportunity to provide accurate information, and in doing that, I guess decrease the chances of misinformation and allowing these barriers to be self-sustaining.
Right. Carolyn, your background and what drew you to this project?
Well, I've been a prosecutor. I'm in my 15th year of prosecuting. I'm currently at the Pennington County State's Attorney's Office. And I do have a background of I worked at the U.S. Attorney's Office for a number of years prosecuting violent crime off the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. And so, you know, I have a background in that prosecution field. What drew me to this is, you know, our state's attorney came to me and asked me if I would consider this, what I'm working in right now as a liaison position. It's an outreach attorney position to the our tribal communities, as well as our local community, because, you know, Pennington County, we came together, a number of different organizations came together, the state's attorney, the public defender, the courts, probation, and we wrote for this grant. So it's a coordinated effort, and we know we have a problem. We know that we need to look at our jails and the incredibly high population we have in the jail and try to do some efforts to reduce, like I said, those nonviolent violent folks. And I would say that our partnership with Eric has just been absolutely amazing, to have somebody with his background that comes from the community and can give such insight. I mean, I know as a person and as a prosecutor, it's really changed the way I do things.
Yeah. Tell me exactly what warrant resolution is. What's the goal of this initiative?
Well, at any given time in Pennington County, we have about 6,000 active warrants. That fluctuates, but that's approximately 6,000 warrants. And when we break down that data, we approximately 84% of those are misdemeanors. Approximately 46% of all the active warrants are Class 2 misdemeanors, which that can consist of anything from a traffic ticket to no insurance to, you know, any type of traffic violation or low-level violation, or maybe a paraphernalia, drug paraphernalia ticket. And so what we're doing here is we've started the initiative to reach out to our community, specifically targeting the reservations that neighbor us, so Pine Ridge, Rosebud, and Cheyenne River. And we've been doing active community outreach. We've been traveling to the reservations. We've got an 800 number set up as well, where a person can speak to me, speak to and discuss an active warrant they might have. And our overall goal is to try to resolve as many of these low-level warrants as we can. And because what happens is somebody gets a warrant for a no driver's license, and, you know, maybe they miss their court date. You know, a lot of people, some people forget. Some people travel back to the reservation. They don't have transportation here. They don't have a way to get back. They miss their court date, and now they have an active warrant. At some point, perhaps they come up to our city, to Rapid City, to go shopping or whatever, and they get pulled over. And now we have a situation where the officer has to arrest because there's an active warrant. And so what we're trying to do is prevent that snowball effect to where now someone's going to jail with a very low-level warrant. We want our officers to focus on, you know, violent offenses, and so this effort is to try to reduce these types of arrests where an originating offense was a low-level ticket.
Is there a warrant unit that goes out to serve warrants, and then these ones would fall to the bottom and they would maybe never get to them, or how does that work?
Well, there's different types of warrants, and I won't waste a lot of airtime on that. But right. Specifically what would happen, I think the ones that we're trying to target right now are ones where someone perhaps has a court date. You know, you get a ticket, there's mm-hmm. going to be an initial appearance date. And if you miss that date or you miss any subsequent hearing date, you're going to get what's called a failure to appear warrant, and that's issued. And so the process of actually serving that is, it, you know, the court issues the warrant so that it's available for law enforcement. Mm-hmm. So as far as getting it served, those go into the system once the judge issues that order when the hearing is missed.
Eric, in your experience, how common is it for people to not even know either that they have a warrant or to not know what to do about the fact that they have a warrant?
I think they're aware that they have a warrant. Just a part of it is maybe a little bit of a fear.
Right.
On sitting in jail, actually having to stay in jail, risking employment opportunities, many times, a lot of the people experiencing this situation are parents. And that kind of adds to it. A lot of what the warrants are, like Caroline said, is low level, mainly fines, monetary, you know, poverty factors.
So what is the resolution then when we talk about some kind of financial, you know, payment? If there is money owed and the person is living in poverty, doesn't have that money, and how do you stop the snowball?
That's a good question. So people ask me that all the time, you know, what happens when do we just dismiss the case? The way I always answer it is when somebody calls me, it's basically a problem solving session. It depends on, you know, the type of the warrant, how long it's been active, and the severity of the charge. So, and like I said, over almost half our warrants are these low level warrants. So for instance, what we try to do is we try to treat the person that's reaching out to me just like we would if they walked into a court hearing, as to what the resolution would be. So for example, we have a large number of cases where it's a no driver's license case, a no insurance ticket, a low-level offense like that. If somebody came to me at a dispositional conference in Pennington County, which is where you try to resolve misdemeanors, we would say to that person, can you get a driver's license? Can you get insurance? If you can do that and you can show us proof, then we will move to dismiss. Now, you know, those are cases where there's no victims, and we believe that everybody wins in that situation because now we've got a legally licensed person or somebody who's actively insured. It changes when there's an accident or a victim involved. Those types of situations, we have to be much more, we have to get the victim's input. We have to determine, you know, what would be the best resolution. There are times when someone calls me and I just help them figure out how to turn themselves in, because I do get calls for more serious warrants. But a lot of times, I think Eric is absolutely right. From my experience, people get panicked when they get a warrant. They don't know what to do. And then a lot of times people just freeze and they don't do anything. And so for them to be able to call and have a person on the other end, even just explain the process of what you do, how do you turn yourself in, or how do you get reconnected with your defense attorney if you have a defense attorney. So that's what I would say. You know, what it is it's an opportunity for us to see if we can get it resolved. There are some situations where we actually can do it without a court hearing, and there's others where that's not possible. So
are there situations where that money, that dollar figure, does get in the way? And are there efforts to sort of, find connections to alleviate the financial burden of taking care of some of these things?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what's been our effort at the state's attorney's office on cases where someone can get legal, you know, for instance, like I said, on the no driver's license. We're trying to have them spend money that they have on getting the documentation. Right. Other situations, you know, really it's something that they can take to the judge and request to the judge, you know, a lowering of fines or even a payment plan. They can ask that of the judge if the ultimate resolution is that they do need to go to court. So it's not always that the fines and court costs can be erased, but there's often times, and again, that's what a good thing about this program, as we're reaching out to some of these reservation rural communities and explaining that to people, you know, if you take care of this, you know, you can talk to the judge, they can set up a payment plan for you. So,
and Eric, that goes back to the issue of trust, because to go in front of the judge or to make a phone call to find out how to deal with something means you have to open your mind toward trusting that you're not just going to get thrown into jail. How do you deal with that issue of misplaced mistrust, as you say?
I guess we're dealing with it through events and activities where conversations are really valuable to us. We lead with this communication, and we can't necessarily go back and fix all the the reasons why this misplaced mistrust exists. But this opportunity with the MacArthur Foundation and Pennington County is actually a brand new opportunity to begin incorporating the community into this work. And so Caroline, she operates pretty transparently. She has a lot of information, and her demeanor is I guess it's real beneficial in when we do enter these tribal communities, because as soon as they hear we're coming, there's some reluctance, some maybe fear-based rhetoric that spreads. And that's what is one of the obstacles that we just want to come and communicate. And that's why the 1-800 number has been so successful, is they could call anonymously and stay anonymous till they tell their name and date of birth.
Right. Do you have that number? Would you like to tell us what it is for people who are listening now?
Yes, absolutely. So the number is 1-800-262-2149. And that actually goes to my desk. Okay. And so, we're happy to answer any questions.
As we look at making progress in something, it feels, I don't live in the community, I'm not directly affected, but as I hear the conversation, it feels like progress is being made, and it feels like it's a really complicated, thing to sort of untangle, and different organizations coming together, different layers. So I'm inferring that there are very good days when you feel like, you know, you're getting there. And then there are very bad days where you think, how in the world do we make progress in this particular case or in this particular area? Is that what it's like for you, where there are, Carolyn, where there are ups and downs, and then you go back and show up for work again the next day?
You hit the nail on the head there. I mean, that's why it's so important to have, a good partnership. And I think, Eric and I have really developed a partnership where we help support each other. It is. It's a very complicated issue. There's a lot of history here, and there's a lot of distrust that, is valid, I go into the community and I don't expect people to just automatically trust me, and I understand, the history behind why they don't. But the way I keep myself going is just, we got to start. We got to start rebuilding. We got to start getting to know each other. And I think for me, I think the biggest thing is, do what you say you're going to do and keep showing up. There's really tough days and there's really great days. And man, I'll tell you, we've been to a lot of small different communities on Pine Ridge, and we've just started reaching out to Rosebud as well, and we'll be in Cheyenne River soon. But I have met some incredible people that just, are working so hard on the reservation and doing amazing things. And it just gives you so much hope. So yeah, I think the big thing is to just keep your mind on where you're going, and to have the partnership of support, to help you through the tough times.
And Eric, let's close with this. Beyond warrant resolution, it seems like those conversations and that showing up has value for so much more than just the specific clearing of a warrant for a nonviolent person.
Absolutely. I think if we really looked at what jail is, what incarceration is, it's a huge, huge destabilizing mechanism in any community. People go to jail, they're not coming back repaired. They're not coming back healed. It's real traumatizing. And there's studies that show even one day in jail has adverse effects on a person. And so I think on the bigger picture of society, a significant number of our population, not just Native Americans, but Americans in general, are affected by this this institution.
Right.
And so what we're doing is we're offering, in essence, stability, an opportunity to maybe not even experience the negative, you know, the detriments of what's out there while being responsible and accountable for the infraction. And that's the ideal, that's the goal, is we're not by no means being soft on crime, and we're not, we want people to be accountable, responsible, and so this warrant resolution opportunity is a huge opportunity to get going in the right direction, and instead of Caroline and her office, the state's attorney's office, being like a negative in it, they turn around and they support the person, and they find avenues in the system that would actually strengthen the person's goals. You know, I've seen a number of people have their warrants resolved because they signed up for GED classes. They enrolled in college. They began participating in cultural activities and events. And so this is a huge opportunity.
Again, my guests have been Eric Bringswhite and is it Caroline Olson or Carolyn? I think I've said it both ways during this.
That's okay.
Segment.
It's Carolyn, but I answered
Carolyn.
Both.
All right, there we go. And community outreach coordinators working with the Safety and Justice Challenge in Pennington County. We continue to follow the work that's being done from this $1.75 million that was awarded in 2017, or the announcement was made in 2017. Thank you so much, both of you, for being here. We appreciate your time.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.